Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. House.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Starting them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face.
It is Sunday, July 21st, 2013. Welcome to a Yakuza Kick Radio mini-sode. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. I'm actually outside right now. It's raining, thundering, lightning, and I got a little, I got my little gazebo tent gimmick, and the lights all lit up in there. So I'm sitting out in there, and, you know, rain's falling everywhere else but where I'm sitting, and pretty cool. I'm actually watching birds like fly through the rain to go hit up the bird feeder before they take shelter back in the trees and shit. So, you know, pretty cool little thing I'm doing here. But yeah, I figured I'd pop in, you know, give a little bit of time, maybe do an hour or so, you know, because Wednesday, for those who didn't listen, very much so should, because I really enjoyed the show. I had Joel Maximo on, and I had Steve Monster Mac on. So, we did the interviews and spent a lot of time with especially Monster Mac. And I think I hit about 2 hours, but I had to wake up the next morning so I could go to work early. And then, I had all sorts of extra stuff to do. So really had to get to bed. I really couldn't crack into another hour worth of talking. So, you know, I figured I'd throw down another one, you know, little hour on a Sunday. I was initially going to do it last night, but, I put in, like, I think 55 hours of work this week. So by the end of last night, I was like, let me just fucking chill out and, do a little bit on Sunday. So that's what I figured I'd do here. I definitely wanted to go over the Money in the Bank thing, the following Monday Night Raw, all of that. A little more updates on things. I continue to try to strive towards these races that I'm doing and everything. I definitely completely committed to, well, not completely because I didn't sign up yet, but definitely doing the Tough Mudder in October. So, and if you haven't seen that, I mean, there's water, fucking ice, fire. Like, there's all sorts of shit. I'm worried about the fire in October. I'm worried about the water and the ice. But, you know, in Jersey, that shit is, I've never been a fan of the cold. So, you know, I got to get some kind of special gear for it and definitely just continue to train my ass off. And that shit's like 8 to 10 miles worth of obstacles, like 20-something obstacles. Crazy, crazy shit. So I'm trying to, like, get myself on a team, get hooked up with a couple other cats that are doing it. And, yeah, I'm going to sign up for that at the end of the week, like Friday. Friday, Saturday, I'm going to sign up for it. So I'll be locked in for that. So, you know, following my August joint, I'll have over a month to prepare for the next one. And, you know, just continually push myself. So that's something I continue to need to do, you know, keep myself on the right track. So yeah, it is what it is. I'm trying to think of what I actually wanted to get into first. I guess, yeah, I'll just go right into the Money in the Bank thing. Oh, on a side note though, I'm all over the place as always. I just heard today, I read somewhere on the internet and, you know, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I would have reason to believe that it is, that apparently Cassius Ohno or Chris Hero or whatever you know him as is being punished or kind of downgraded, where from what the reports were, they were set to debut him on TV this summer, and they had a plan in line, and they were really going to, you know, go forward with it and try to get him on TV, whatever program they had lined up for him. But apparently they said that he needed to bulk up. He needed to, you know, hit the gym hard and really improve on his physique. And that was something he didn't do. And by reports, the word got back to Triple H that he was missing gym days or whatever the case. And they straight removed him from any future TV scheduling they had. He also hasn't had his face on NXT in a little while, so I wonder if, you know, they took him off that in order to push for the TV run, and that resulted in no TV run because of his gym thing, whatever the case. I don't know. Like I said, I'm only reading, you know, what I saw on the internet, so I don't know if that's necessarily 100% true. But, you know, speculation, whatever it is. I also saw pictures when they first did the whole opening of the training facility that they have out there in Florida for the WWE. I saw like the picture of Sammy in the, you know, property of WWE shirt. And you could see in the back of that group, there was like a whole group of, in the back, like left of that group, there was Hero in the same type of, you know, property WWE training shirt, which struck me as weird at the time, because again, he's been in NXT and he's been in developmental for so long that I didn't expect them to still have him down pretty much as if he was just walking in the door, you know, like Sammy is. So I found that pretty interesting and possibly, you know, not so great for the dude. But yeah, I mean, I hope that they straighten everything out and get the guy on TV. I mean, he's tremendously talented and, you know, I can't say I've always enjoyed his work, because his heel work, he just purposely bored everybody to death. But I mean, as his athleticism is awesome, and if he, you know, he's able to be put in there with guys and he's going to go, then, you know, he's definitely up there with a lot of top-notch talent. So, yeah, I'd like to see him definitely make it up there, but I guess we'll see. And if this is the truth, it's going to be a while. So, and honestly, I couldn't imagine them even keeping him under contract for much longer. If that's actually the case, I could definitely see them straight letting them go, because they want a certain thing out of people and they're not going to flex. Like, you're the one that needs to flex and, you know, do what they want. And if you don't do that, they just really are going to move on. You know, Chris Hero might have been, you know, really special to the independents, but no one's really that special to Vince. If he doesn't get what he wants, he fucking sends you home. So it is what it is. So yeah, Money in the Bank. They had a pre-show, and Steve Austin has me on this sparkling water and shit. Listen to his podcast. He talks about sparkling water and just nonstop fucking drinking this stuff. I'm drinking actually the same shit that he was, majority of his podcast, the San Pellegrino. But I do prefer the Perrier pink grapefruit joint. That's the shit right there. But anyway, the Money in the Bank pre-show match was the Shield beating the Usos. I think the Usos have really, really become a solid tag team. And if they're able to actually, you know, make a tag team division come together, you know, we were just talking about, you know, with Monster Mac last week about how tag team wrestling is more or less gone by the wayside. And most companies, you know, including the WWE, don't even focus on it anymore. It's kind of just not even a, it's not a main focus. It's, you know, a sideshow at very best, or, you know, a space filler. They're not even using it as serious angles unless they're doing something to build something else on a singles. But, you know, if they're able to do this tag team thing and actually make it, you know, work, now you got, you know, Team Hell No, that's, I mean, that's pretty much beat. The Rhodes Scholars are now, you know, officially broken up. You know, you're going real slim pickings as far as the tag team division goes. The Usos, I think, have really come into their own. And I know they were really only set up to fail against the Shield, but those are guys that were right in there going with the Shield, no problem. You know what I mean? And I really enjoy their work. I think they're a really good tag team. They continue to do this type of thing. I've heard some people say that, you know, they're Rikishi's sons. They really just need to, like, get fat and shit so they can be big, giant Samoans and shit. I think it's far better for them to just be, you know, have whatever lineage they have whatever, you know, family bloodlines they have, but be their own thing and be athletic. I mean, I'm all for the athletic wrestler far more than I am just say, okay, you're big now. Not great. Sign them up. So I don't know. I like a lot of the stuff that they do out there. They got a lot of energy. And I think they're, you know, a good part of the tag team division as long as they keep it going. They got to get some more teams seriously, you know, moving. I'm sure the Wyatt family, you know, Brody and the other dude, I always forget that guy's name. But I'm sure they're going to make a good tag team, you know, to be going up against guys. They got the Shield going on. I just continued to hope that Hero would be brought up and eventually put with Cesaro. But it's more or less like a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Swagger and Cesaro for a good amount of time now. And I guess that'll work for what it is. I mean, Cesaro could do nothing but help Swagger improve because, I mean, Lord knows he needs it. And on top of it, I mean, you know, those two click up. I mean, it could be a pretty solid tag team as well. Trying to think of who else they got going. I had heard something about, you know, plans of bringing Pac up too. I mean, if they match Pac up with somebody or do whatever they're going to do there, that could work too. Or Aaron Neville, I think that's his name. But yeah, I definitely like to see it strengthened. I think the Usos have come into their own. I thought it was a great opener. I really have a hard time with a lot of these things, like the, any type of titles being put on a dark match just irks me. Always has, always will. I've been mentioning it since I started the show. And, you know, tag titles, dark match, well, you know, that's what you get. And, you know, it was a great match, though. I liked it. So then they started off the show with the SmackDown Money in the Bank match. And honestly, I think overall I enjoyed this match more than I did the Raw Money in the Bank match. Yeah, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro, Wade Barrett, and Cody Rhodes. Oh, and Damian Sandow, of course. I mean, there was just some cool spots in here. Ambrose hit a DDT off the ladder. Sunset flip over the ladder by Fandango. That shit looks good. Even every time I'm just about done with Fandango, because I was never really on that boat. But, yeah, every time I'm just like, he's completely worthless. Get this fucking guy out of here. He'll do something impressive. And that was definitely pretty impressive, the sunset flip over the ladder. I like that. The spot of the match I thought was cool as hell was they did with Ambrose. He did the whole, you know, ladder on the head, you know, put the ladder rungs over your head and then spin around and knock people out. Well, he was doing that, you know, knocking people down. And then Cesaro and Swagger lifted up the ends of the ladder, having him, like, swinging from the bottom of the ladder. And he messed up the first time. It would have been nicer if he pulled it off the first time, but he recovered really, really well from it. His thing was to do like the skin the cat move, like he was on the top rope or, you know, underneath, but more or less skin the cat on the ladder, do that back roll up on top of the ladder, and then immediately try to like jump up and grab the titles off of where he was. So that was really cool. And then they just dumped him over the top rope with the ladder. So I thought that was a really, really cool spot. And this is, to me, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the WWE is coming up with these ideas, but this is, in my opinion, what you get from bringing more of the indies up to the big shows, is you get more innovation, you get more good ideas instead of the same old, you know, traditional match that you get out of everywhere. You know, a lot of these indies have such tremendous innovation and creativity that I think when these guys are being put up there on TV, you know, it bleeds through to the product a lot. And, yeah, I'm very happy with those type of things. So anyway, the end result of the match was Damian Sandow dumping Cody Rhodes off the ladder and stealing the Money in the Bank, more or less. You know, them being tag partners, the big, you know, turn or whatever. And Damian Sandow won. I don't have a problem with that. He's a really talented athlete. His promo is just unbelievable. He's a guy that they could definitely push and do stuff with, you know, mic work wise and gimmick wise, and he could really go in the ring too. So I'm all for a guy like that getting a shot. So, you know, I was definitely pulling for Ambrose, but in the same token, the guy's already got a title. That's a little bit of a hard go to have a title. I'm not sure if that's been done before, but to have a title and then win the Money in the Bank, it's another one of those things where the title to me needs to look more important, whether it's the U.S. title, whether it's tag titles, whether it's the world title. I mean, that has to look like the most important thing to you at the time, and that's my opinion. So if you're winning a Money in the Bank match, now you're holding the thing to cash in, but you're holding another title. So what does that title even mean? Because now you have this, you know, this, you know, free shot at another title. Well, you know, it kind of always looms that way. It's like, well, you're defending your title, but obviously there's a bigger picture, which kind of just negates even having that title. It makes it not even mean as much. So, I mean, that's just my opinion on that. I just wouldn't have been as big of a fan of it due to the situation, even though, you know, I'd like to see Dean Ambrose get bigger opportunities, but even at that, to be U.S. champion this early into, you know, him coming into the WWE, I'm completely fine with that. I don't think anyone's being screwed or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm all good with it. And then coming off of that, The Miz and Curtis Axel retained. For these two matches, I was screwing with my fish tank, so I just used that time to do other things, more or less. I just wasn't really interested in the Miz and Curtis Axel match, and nor was I Caitlin AJ thing. You know, I don't know. So Curtis Axel retained, AJ retained. That was pretty much that. And then they had Jericho versus Ryback, where Jericho continued the burial of Ryback. He's calling him Cryback. They're playing the SmackDown match, I think I mentioned the other week, about, you know, Miz is working the leg, and he's just, like, screaming in agony, oh, my God, my leg, my knee, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, for a guy who's supposed to be a monster, that makes it really, really hard. They've gone so far as humanizing this guy that I just do not think he can recover. I mean, it's just, he's not going to be a monster again. So somehow you're going to have this giant dude that was initially squashing 2 and 3 people at a time, now having a hard time wrestling and being in pain all the time and having a hard time struggling through matches. Like, I just don't know about the dynamic of that. It's a very, very strange look to me. So, I mean, you can't keep him on some monstrous, unstoppable role forever. I do understand that. That's not something I would have wanted to happen anyway. You know, not like I'm Ryback's number one fan. I mean, I like the dude, but you know, there's obviously going to be an end. But to tone down and still play with being a monster without completely bitching the guy, like he's just going to beg off of everything. He's going to be like the chicken shit heel at like fucking 280 or whatever this fucking guy weighs. That shit don't make any sense. You know, so anyway, you know, Jericho, you know, has the match with him. Ryback, again, another little point of being a bitch, you know, or being portrayed as a bitch. He wins with a schoolboy. So this giant fucking crusher is crying all week, fucking, you know, on the SmackDown match, getting worked over and just completely fucking selling this shit like it's death, like he's just getting murdered out there, like when fucking Tommy Dreamer grabs a woman and pile driver, like the way she's screaming before a pile driver, that's like what Ryback's acting like right now, and it's fucking silly to me. So yeah, that's just kind of what they're doing. So he wins with a schoolboy, you know, like he really had to steal the victory from Jericho. It's really absurd what they're doing with him. I'm not even sure what the reason behind that is. So anyway, then Ziggler and Del Rio went to a DQ. Awesome match. Ziggler's just unbelievable, and I really think put in there with the right guys, Del Rio is a really good worker. I know there's a lot of people out there to criticize him and don't like him or whatever, but I think he's a solid fucking worker as long as he's in there with someone who could, you know. I mean, again, you got to remember, I mean, they feuded him with the Big Show for how long? So I don't know how much you're going to really be able to do and pull off. And you know, especially if you're an athletic type wrestler, you spend half of your face time against the Big Show. I mean, Jesus, you know, running drop kicks to the knee for half the match. I don't know how you're going to look like dynamic, but, you know, up against a guy like Ziggler, fucking awesome match. Loved it. And, you know, they did the whole thing where AJ screwed Ziggler. Ziggler had the whole match, like, you know, it was back and forth and everything, hard fought. But Ziggler was in place to actually, you know, go ahead and get the win, or at least where it was still very, very possible. And then AJ came in, hit Del Rio with the title, caused the DQ. Del Rio keeps the title, you know. Ziggler's pissed off, you know, the whole deal. So that's what they did there. Then they went off of that to the Cena-Mark Henry match. Cena wins, you know, tons of false finishes and kicking out of finishers and all this nonsense. But, you know, it was what it was. I don't know how much better the match could have been than that. I mean, it did what it was supposed to, but... You know, it's more or less like Cena kicks out of everybody's finishers. He ends up winning in the long run. And then it's really hard to come back from that. Now, you know, what they did to Ryback, it was like three matches straight up, like a 2 out of 3 falls match. And then I think 2 other matches that they put over Cena. So it's really difficult to put him over with credibility as a monster after Cena just cleans him on a straight run. You know, Mark Henry does this big, crazy swerve, you know, tricks everybody with his whole retirement thing, comes out there and really just fucking, you know, just completely kills it with that promo and the turn and everything like that, only to go to, you know, the pay-per-view and have Cena kick out of his finisher and, you know, Cena go over again. So it's just kind of like par for the course. It's more or less what you would expect out of the Cena matches, but you know, now it's like, what do you do with Mark Henry? It's just, so Cena wins. Then you had the other Money in the Bank, the Royal Money in the Bank match: RVD, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Christian, Randy Orton, Sheamus. You know, great. I mean, it was really great, exciting stuff. They did a lot of stuff in it. Really don't have any, you know, specifics written down as far as spots or anything. But, you know, they did a lot with it. You know, the big overall thing was Heyman turning on CM Punk, you know, coming in there with the ladder. CM Punk was climbing the ladder, and Heyman just started just, you know, hitting him with another ladder and busting him open and all that shit. And, you know, cost him the match. Randy Orton climbed and won. I was surprised at Randy Orton winning. I just, you know, Randy Orton in the title picture really doesn't excite me at all. I'm not a fan like that. I mean, he does okay in selected matches and certain matches. There's a lot of times Randy Orton shit just look ridiculous. I mean, it's just fucking same old drag him through the ropes, DDT, fucking, you know, the RKO out of nowhere. Like, it's not out of nowhere if he does it every fucking week. I mean, everybody, come on, man, with this shit. It's so anyway, it's, you know, it is what it is. Randy Orton wins. Wasn't bad. Overall, great pay-per-view. You know, a whole bunch of people in the area went because, you know, it was right there in Philly. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, good for what it was. And I enjoyed it for sure. Next up is SummerSlam. I might go as far as to order that because, I mean, it's really lining up to be pretty solid. But, you know, we'll see what's up. Let me play a track, take a break, come back. I got a little bit of Raw to talk about, a few other things. But, yeah, like I said, short little one today. You know, see what goes on. And then, yeah, man. So, check this out.
You too smooth, man? That's what it is? You too smooth?
Nah, man, it's you.
Or it's me. Yeah, you right, man. Making money is me.
Hey, yo, I was raised up in the one cot room. Now my pay's up. Niggas say I'm gonna pop soon. I'm about to blaze up. It's gonna be one hot tune. Try to play tough, end up with a gunshot wound.
Come on!
The way ass niggas hustle and get riches with pounds. In the ditches and ground, where the snitches get found. If them bitches can't swim, then them bitches get drowned. Do this shit for my city, do this shit for my town. Ain't no crew as wild as mine.
No
suit by Calvin Klein. Move the thousand dimes, get loot from violent crime. This rap shit took me long to do, but now it's time. Harlem used to belong to you, but now it's mine. I've been blue, been a star, a wow. All the shit I've been through make it hard to smile. I do what I wanna do, y'all do what y'all allow. That's why hard and vow, and my squad is foul. Problem child.
You said 5G's, nigga? 5G. You gonna stop acting like you only nigga getting money, man. Make it 10, man. What's wrong with you, man?
Hey,
we getting more money than you, man. You know what I'm saying?
I got a G for every bump on your face, nigga. Whatever you want, man.
Niggas get stuck. Young pups don't give a fuck. Showing niggas how they give it up if they don't give it up. Harlem like hockey. Thin ice, you slip, you fuck. You better guard your goal or they come to hit your puck. I'm from New York, man. We don't got a lot of choppers. Handguns, exit wounds that surprise the doctors. It's chiller be chill. It's either shot or shot ya. Niggas notice you soft cause they can size your posture. Type of niggas all for all they money. They be laughing even when the jokes ain't funny. Man, I heard through the grapevine that money make the world go. That's why niggas catching fresh chases on a furlough. It ain't construct when I tell you we got them bricks. And ain't talking handwriting when I tell you we got them scripts. Harlem hitters, anybody got a problem with us? We be right here counting money, nigga. What's up?
Money making Mitch.
Tell me something good, babe.
It's all good, I know it is.
It's on P, man.
I watch niggas move.
Niggas move.
And if they move on me, I gon' end up watching them on the news. I'm in the V, they watching me while I cruise. They probably wish they was watching a nigga lose. I was built to win. My buzz went down like the towers.
Guess what?
It got built again.
Right.
I'm a cash cow, but ain't no milk in hell. Around my way, somebody just got killed again. Hope the music get me out of this madness. I'm racing and I'm trying to get out of the fastest. And these bitches want the bread, I want the head. So they ain't even gotta get out of their fabric. I'm different, I know that. Just listen, I show that. I'm different from the niggas that don't rap but act like they do. You don't respect me, it's cool. When I'm around, you better act like you do.
I get love out here in Harlem.
Hey, Mafia!
I'm so coke on these streets.
Murder, move!
Hash, weed, heroin.
OP!
As long as niggas is feeling it, a nigga like me can hustle it.
Yeah, there you go. Some other shit, too. Definitely next show Wednesday, I should definitely be starting to get into the AGT thing. I know last year, you know, I had everybody have my opinions on that. I've been holding back thus far because they were only doing more or less the auditions and stuff. So I got a couple things that I like But they're really going to start getting down to the competing. The live shows start on Tuesday, the Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I'm definitely going to start getting into that and, you know, talking a little bit about that. I think it's an entertaining show. They, you know, they got the singers and, you know, acrobatics and danger acts and dancing and all sorts of different shit. So I always think it's a cool show to watch. And Howard Stern being one of the judges on there definitely livens it up. And, you know, someone who's actually going to tell them the real shit. So good stuff. So check that out. After I get done with this too, definitely hyped up for my dinner. I got some chili. It's been in the crock pot all day. I got Hungarian wax pepper in there, jalapeno, Thai chili pepper, and some Thai dragon chili peppers. I grew all them shits in the yard here, and them Thai dragon chili peppers ain't no fucking joke, man. These joints are skinny as hell, and they're little, but man, they'll light you up, man. So this chili's off the chain. So after the show, this is exactly what I'm doing. So, you know, a couple more minutes, but let me see what else. Raw. Another Ziggler Del Rio match. I mean, like I said, I can't say it enough. These guys just got like crazy chemistry. It works really well. Ziggler, I think, has got to be full face at this point. He's reacting to the crowd like a face. He's doing a lot of different things that way. The fucking bump he took, that shit didn't even make no sense. I mean, I don't know if that was a fuck up or what. But, like, the way that this dude bounced off the floor, that shit don't make no sense. Like, god damn. Like, you gotta watch that shit back. And I was just saying that, I remembered the bump again, and, like, dude, I gotta go watch this shit back, because that was one of the silliest fucking bumps I've seen in a long time out of this WWE dudes. That shit was crazy. And then they, you know, officially did the AJ split with Dolph Ziggler, and now she's back to being a crazy bitch and, you know, trying to fuck him over and this and that. But, the shit with, I want to say it was the shit with Big E, but I know he got tossed over the side and he just bounced off the motherfucking floor. But they did the whole AJ split. You know, he said, oh, you know, I need to stop here and, you know, stop telling me you're sorry. It's time for us to move on. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, I'm so glad to hear that, you know. Yeah, and he's like, no, you don't get it. Like, we're done. I'm moving on type shit. So now she's all heated and she's going to be, you know, screwing him over for a while. But that's that, which is good. I mean, the WWE was forcing him to be heel, you know, fucking heavy. Like, everybody, all the fans loved this motherfucker, and like everything he did the fans popped for. And then it was like, no, but I still don't like you guys. Like, you know, he's been wanted to be a face by the fans for a long fucking time. So finally you could actually, you know, bask in the fan respect and support and shit that he had before. So that'll be good. The Wyatts attacked R-Truth. Not sure why R-Truth. I mean, R-Truth, I guess at this point, is just like a fill in the blanks. We'll use him to put somebody over here and somebody there. And from what I heard too, these hurt, so they more or less like use them for that, and then I'll be off TV for a while again. So I don't know. It kind of is what it is with R-Truth. They pulled the rug out from him a bunch of times. At this point, I don't even think it's expected for them to do anything special with them. So. But, yeah, you know, they did that. And then, you know, and the Wyatt thing altogether is just a cool fucking angle. Like, everything about it, I like. They really cut a great fucking promo. And just the theatrics of it all is just really good. And obviously the dudes go work. So on top of it, you know, you're going to get some really good matches with excellent build-ups, which is rarely done. The Usos versus the Real Americans is just, you know, Swagger and Cesaro was a good match. The Usos ended up winning with a roll-up pin. There's too many roll-up pins these days. I get so tired of that bullshit. I don't know, something about it. I just, you know, it could happen here and there, but I like finishes to be finishes. I guess that's how you build angles and you build storylines with not a real good finale to a match, you know, a bunch of times, and then you finally get the payoff or, you know, whatever. So that's what I guess you do. Christian versus Sandow. Christian wins with a roll-up, so haven't seen that in a while. They continued the CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman feud. Heyman came out. Him and Punk went back and forth. Heyman cut a great promo. Punk cut a great promo. They went back and forth real solid there. And now Brock came out and fucking threw Punk all over the place. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good build again, and I think it'll be a really good match. So, I mean, if we're looking at SummerSlam and hold on a second on that. We got RVD versus Jericho. That was actually great stuff. That was like old school RVD and Jericho. I mean, really came together like a good, you know, kind of a WCW match type feel. Maybe a little ECW flavor in there too. I mean, just really good match. I mean, it showed that both of these guys could still go. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. I was kind of surprised actually that it was that good. But loved it. Then they did a whole thing where, because they did the fans, or John Cena picks his opponent for SummerSlam and this and this. So he brings out, like, the whole roster. And the only thing that's stupid, too, is that you got, like, people who are feuding standing next to each other. You got, like, Swagger and him standing next to Del Rio just like, yep, just waiting on the decision. Like, ain't got no problems right now. You know, and they're just standing there like fucking idiots. But, so it is what it is, but he ends up picking Daniel Bryan. So, like I was saying, SummerSlam, you got Daniel Bryan and Cena for the title. You got CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar for the title. Not for the title. Why did I say that? Yeah, well, you know, you got CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. You got I don't know. It could very well be another Del Rio Swagger joint. Not Swagger. Ziggler. I'm just going to botch the shit out of this card. It's okay. We got a couple weeks. I'll get it right before then. You know, it just seems like they're lining up a lot of good matches. Like, little by little, like, it's really coming together as a solid card. So I definitely might have to actually order it instead of whatever other method I've watched things by. The dog is barking, which is a fantastic way to continue. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing a lot of big things there. And I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. And can only get better from here on out, you know. Well, I mean, it could definitely get worse, what I'm saying. So that's that. That's Raw and everything like that. Next week, I'll probably get into, or Wednesday, I should say, if I can get enough time and energy, I may watch the CZW show and give my review on that. I'd like to be able to get the Only the Strong Tag Tournament that happened on Friday that, you know, we were hyping and stuff on last week's show. I was looking for it too, because I know that I think they did like a live eye pay-per-view, but I wasn't home Friday night. So I got to find like somewhere where there's the, you know, like on demand or whatever, where I could watch it that way. Cause I do definitely want to watch it and review that as well. You know, and then we got Raw coming up on Monday. I'll definitely hit that up on Wednesday. For those that listen to Wrestling Soup, they will be back on Thursday. I know I plugged them and everything on past week's show and said they'd probably be back, but they weren't. But Thursday they're supposed to be back. So we'll hear what's up from them. Of course, the Sports Den on Wednesday. Women Love Wrestling, I believe they're still doing their thing. Just kind of out of the loop with what they're doing. Stern Nation on Thursday, of course. And the whole nine. So definitely check all that out. I think I'm just going to take one more little break, play another track, classic here, and then I'll come back. And I just kind of want to touch on that Zimmerman thing real quick. I'm only going to say so much about it because I mean, what can you do? But, I don't know, check this, and then I'll do that, and then I can go eat, all right?
The loudest one, representing BK to the fullest. Gats, I pull it. Bastards ducking when Big B bucking. Chicken heads be clucking in my bathroom, fucking. It ain't nothing. They know Big B handling with the Mac in the act or paneling. Bandaging MCs, oxygen, they can't breathe. Mad tricks up the sleeve. Wear boxes so my dick can breathe. Breeze through in the Q45 by my side. Miracle high, and those that brushes my clutches get put on crutches. Get smoked like duchess from the master. You see, I smoke a lot. Your life is played out like Farmay and them fucking polka dots. Who rocks the spot? Biggie, you know how the weed go. Unbelievable.
About this you know, Zimmerman Trayvon Martin thing, I think it's fucked up. Now, before, you know, I say anything else about it, I definitely want to say that, like, I know that, you know, people, one of the first reactions people have is, well, why don't you worry about this, or why don't you worry about this? Well, what about all the other things that happen? Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of stuff out there that happens. There's a lot of people getting killed. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. Well, the reason why I comment on it at all is because it has become a huge thing in the media, and it has become, like, a major news story, and it is plastered all over everywhere. So I feel the need to at least just voice my opinion on the thing that everybody's talking about. Now, do I go out of my way to find all the people that have been killed and talk about those? No, I don't, because, frankly, it's depressing. You know what I mean? But if that shit was on the news and it was a big court case and it was blown up, well, you know, I'd probably speak on that too. Now, of course, it's wrong. that a lot of these other things don't get the exposure or the attention that this has gotten. I'd agree. But the fact of the matter is it didn't. So I can't really speak on it. And I'm not going to go out of my way to just have an opinion on every court case or every terrible thing that happens in America. So this is just because it is what it is on why I would even say anything about it. And, you know, a lot of people have pretty strong opinions on it. So, you know, I feel, you know, that I should have mine, at least, you know, put it out there a little bit. So my thing is, you know, first, a lot of people go out of their way to say, this is not racist. There's no racism there. This is not, well, first off, it was never a black and white thing because the dude's not white. But I don't feel that there's any fucking shot in hell that this guy isn't fucking racist. Now, the thing is, or, you know, at the very least, prejudice. I mean, the thing is his whole leading statement was, this guy looks suspicious. Well, what the fuck looks suspicious about him? He was a black dude with a hoodie on walking down the street. That's all he was. That's all he was. And, like, he's leading on this 911 call talking about, you know, he's just walking, looking around. So now, like, if you're black with a hoodie on, you can't look around. Like, you just don't look at nobody's house and shit while you're walking. Just look at the floor. Is that what you're saying? Just, like, look at the ground while you walk by my house type shit? You know what I mean? Like, this is, I don't see where this guy looks suspicious shit came from. He goes, he looks like he's on drugs and shit. Where do you even base that opinion? Where do you base that opinion from? So to say that there's no racism, there's no stereotype, there's no nothing. All he was doing is walking down the street. He wasn't standing on the corner and shit, you know, with something that looked like a blunt burning. He wasn't, like, you know, with cars pulling up to him here and there. He wasn't, like, standing in front of your house just looking at your house and shit, taking pictures. Like, I mean, suspicious is a word you can use when something suspicious is happening. If someone is just walking down the street with a certain appearance that, you know, isn't really a doctored appearance. He has a hoodie on. And from what the reports were, it was like raining and shit. So he had a hoodie on. Okay. I mean, if having a hoodie on makes you so suspicious, why do they attach them to the back of fucking shirts and sell them in stores? You know what I mean? If that makes you so fucked up because, oh shit, he has this thing on. It doesn't make any sense to say that the guy looks suspicious unless, you know, you're classifying what he's dressed like or what color he is or whatever as suspicious. It's a certain dress type or it's a certain look of a dude that you're calling suspicious, not actually his activity, because his activity was walking. Just people who are walking is suspicious. I mean, that's fucking crazy. So to me, that's bullshit. Then he calls 911 and he says this shit. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he can call 911 on any fucking one he wants, anybody in the world that he fucking wants, and say, I think you look suspicious. Now go back to fuck in your house and go watch some fucking SportsCenter or some shit. But to be like, he looks suspicious and I'm on his tail, like, what the fuck is that about? And he starts off with the dude's coming towards me. Dude's coming towards me. Dude's coming towards me. And then a minute later, he's like, oh, he's running. So, and the guy on the dispatcher is like, don't follow him. We don't need you to do that. And now for 1 second did the dude stop following, because you could hear him on the 911 call go, oh shit, I think I lost him. Oh man, I don't want him to get away. They always get away. Like, this dude's used to chasing motherfuckers around. Like, so why was he following him to begin with? He wanted to do some kind of like neighborhood cop shit. He wanted to be a cop, and he had a gun on him and shit. You know what I mean? So he didn't mean any harm. He didn't mean any harm. Well, they're telling him, like, don't follow the motherfucker. Let him go find him and shit. But you had to go follow him. Now, to say that Trayvon was running, that came out of George Zimmerman's mouth. He was running. You had to come out. You had to pick up a pretty good fucking pace. So that means you were running, or he was in his car or whatever. You were driving aggressively to go chase this dude down. Now, if a car is driving aggressively, fucking chasing you all over the neighborhood when initially all the fuck you were doing is walking down the street, you'd become pretty hostile yourself, I would think. I know I fucking would, especially if I was a teenager, and you don't always make the best decision. You know what I mean? So this is going on. This guy is in pursuit of a fucking dude that really didn't do shit. Now you go, oh, well, he might not. He's not innocent. He's not, you know, he's not an angel. He don't have to be a fucking angel. All he was doing is walking down the street when some dude went out of his fucking way to chase him down because he thought he looked suspicious. Not like I seen the dude in my fucking shed or it looked like he was trying to get in my car. And then I fucking went after him. Like, the dude didn't actually do shit that he knew about. It was all suspicion. It was under his own suspicion of the dude being suspicious, which is his own just, that's what he conjured up. And he called the cops because he was so interested in the situation. Then he followed it up with, that wasn't good enough. He had to go get him. So eventually he catches up to him, you know, according to whatever. Let's just come right out with Trayvon turns around, comes out and whoops his ass. And amongst that, the dude shoots him. Where that, to me, doesn't seem like it's something that the dude is not in the wrong. I'm sorry, like, there was no reason to chase this dude down. There was no reason to chase this dude down. Now, they have this stand your ground law, but I don't really fully understand that either because I feel like, if anything, Trayvon was standing his ground by putting up some kind of assault of a guy who was chasing him around. The guy wasn't a cop. The guy had no ties to him in the past that we know of. He didn't know this fucking guy, and this guy's chasing him down, asking him what's up. You know what I mean? Like driving aggressively, you know, trying to catch up with him, and then getting out of his car and going at him. And you know, whether he just got out of his car, and he wasn't ripped out of his car by Trayvon, so he clearly went out of his car to pursue the dude, and with a gun on him. Because at that point, why wouldn't you run around pursuing people? Because you know you can't be fucked with. Oh, what's he going to do, beat you up? Well, now you killed him. So end of story, and I mean, we end up with just not guilty, just head to toe? I mean, the stand your ground law sounds like a fucking, some kind of murderer's offensive foul in basketball. It's like, if you just post up in the lane and let the guy run you over and shit, that's on him. You know, like, his feet were planted and then he shot the dude in the face. Like, that shit don't, I don't know, that shit just doesn't settle well with me because of that. And you could say, you know, whatever you want about what Trayvon was or what he might have been or whatever, whatever. But as far as the incident goes, that's what I heard. And I'm not questioning whether he beat the shit out of dude when he finally caught up with him. But the fact that he was even catching up with a dude he had no business fucking with, that's my issue. And that's where, to me, I feel like the dude was 100% guilty. Whether you knock that charge to something else or whether you do whatever, whatever, the fact that he completely skated is retarded. And I think that law needs to be severely changed. If that's just... Oh, and initially they were going to just give him his gun back. Like, go ahead and do it again, bro. You're cleaning up the streets. Like, and now I think the feds or somebody put a halt to it, at least for right now. He's not getting his gun back. But, like, that's the message you're sending, is, like, you did a great job. Because if you get absolutely not guilty, like, not, there's not, like, a lesser charge. There's nothing he's facing. There's nothing. You go home, have a good night, man. Here's your gun back because you did the right thing with it the first time. Like, if you really get to go and just chase people down that you think is suspicious, make sure you're armed with a, you know, legally registered weapon. And then if they start to beat your shit up, then you just get to put them out. I mean, that seems like a crazy fucking law. Crazy fucking law. You know what I mean? Like in Jersey here, they have like some no self-defense type shit going on. Like you can't even get self-defense. Like, they have some shit where, like, if you have a gun registered in Jersey and someone breaks into your house and you shoot them, you're going to fucking jail, man. There's no, like, they're not going to give you, like, oh, well, they were trespassing and that's a legal gun, so you're okay. Have a nice night. You were in jail in Jersey over that. And they were clearly in the wrong because they're breaking into your house. And if you shoot and kill them, you're going to fucking jail. That's the way the law works in Jersey. Somehow in Florida, it works that, like, if you don't like the way a motherfucker looks, chase him down, and if some shit pops off, kill him. As long as your gun's legal, then shit. I mean, that is a crazy fucking law, in my opinion, man. I don't care. And like I said, the only reason why I think it's completely about color is because what made him suspicious? The fact that George never had to answer that question. What exactly was suspicious about him? Well, he had a hoodie on and he was walking, and there's been robberies. So what? There's been robberies and shit. So every car that drives by your house could have been the one that robbed your shit. Everyone who walks down the street could have been the one that robbed your shit. So what exactly makes him fit the description unless you saw someone that looked like that climbing out of your car or your window and shit a week before? None of that happened, and he made his own, you know, judgment call that this was the guy that we needed to go get him right now, which was crazy because he had nothing to base that off of. So if you're not basing that off a stereotype or a color or a prejudice, then I don't know exactly what it was, because that was never really ironed out as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's just my opinion on the whole thing. And I think there was complete, you know, injustice done by the dude just being let go and going, yeah, you did the right thing. Because I don't think that is. Even with Trayvon beating his ass, dude chased him down. I mean, that's some bullshit, you know. Some people were saying, oh, yeah, it was within, like, a football throw of George Zimmerman's house where the thing happened. Well, how the fuck was Trayvon running then? What, did he run towards Zimmerman's house and shit? Was he out? I mean, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. If Trayvon was running to get away from him, and he was like, oh, shit, this guy's getting away, I gotta... And then it ends up the way it ended up. He's got to be in the wrong, man. He's just got to be in the wrong. I mean, it's just my opinion on things, you know? Like I said, a lot of other injustices happen in the United States, and it's not the only one and anything like that, but because it got this type of exposure and it got pretty much pushed into my face like this, where everybody's got an opinion, I figure I'd share mine. So that's what that is. I think that's about all I got for this week. Like I said, check out all my friends, my other friends with podcasts, all that. Eric told me the Golden Cravat is going to be coming back soon. So I guess, keep your eye out for that too. Let me scroll down so I got a little bit of a fucking something to take me out with. Check me out on Wednesday. I'll be back. I'll be back doing what I do. And that's that. I'll check y'all motherfuckers out on Wednesday. And Jesus Christ, I can't find shit. There it is. All right, yeah, I'll check y'all out on Wednesday. All right, peace.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.